Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bears.
Yeah, sure. Bears. Welcome and welcome back. Steve Rosenblum, Mark Rohde with you. Saturday Suckage. We go back to the Scores Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. They will take your Bears bet there. I don't know which way we should bet on what the Bears are going to do, but I'd bet against them making a move. But they are talking about moving to Arlington Heights. We welcome in the mayor of Palatine. That's the backyard. The mayor of Palatine would like, he would tell you that Palatine, how do you pronounce your residences? What do you describe them as, Jim? And how do you guys look at Arlington Heights as your nicest suburb?
Yeah, we certainly have a great relationship. I know when I was first running for mayor in 2008 into 2009 before the election, I was asked where I stood on immigration. I said, well, just don't let those people from Arlington Heights come over here. That's what I kept telling people.
But, there you go. Build
no, it's, you know, we work really well. Arlington Heights, Barrington, Buffalo Grove, Hoffman Estates, you know, we've got a great relationship. We do a lot of sharing of resources and things. So the news of the potential redevelopment of the Arlington Park racetrack is great news for all of us. You know, Arlington Heights is going to make proper decisions that are going to help everybody here regionally, and you know, certainly the Bears being in the mix is exciting for all of us. There's no doubt about it.
Jim Schwantz joining us here on the Score, and he's the former Bears linebacker, former Dallas Cowboys linebacker, won a Super Bowl, and mayor of Palatine, and I'm curious what you think. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's a legitimate chance, given everything we've heard for so many years?
Yeah, I think, you know, I would have said probably, what, 4 or 5 days ago, I would have said it's too big. It's too big of a move for the organization. But the news of the partner coming in, the Churchill Downs Rivers coming in as a partner, I think makes it a little bit more palatable. I believe there's a chance now. If you would have said just the Bears on their own making this a reality, I would have bet against it. But the fact that they've brought in some money and some partners as far as trying to get it done financially, I think you're going to see a little bit better of an opportunity. You know, some of these the bigger deals that have been done with some of these stadiums. You know, Jerry Jones first bought the Cowboys, one of the things they said, the experts said, is you got to unload the stadium. It's a loser. It's only profitable a couple times a year, you know, 8 or 10 times a year. You got to get rid of it. And Jerry Jones turned Texas Stadium into a money maker because that's what he is. He's a businessman. He understands it. And then you saw, you know, Robert Kraft do it. You saw Paul Allen out in Seattle, obviously Snyder. These owners now that have other sources of income besides the football team, besides the organization, they figure out ways. The vision is so large to be able to do what they've done in Los Angeles and to make it a destination and to be able to host other events throughout the year. That's the vision. And, you know, I just don't know that the Bears organization on its own would have been able to make that go. But the fact that there's other people coming along, I think it makes it a little bit more of a less of a long shot.
So less of a long shot and less of a negotiating ploy, would you say, as well?
I don't know, Mark. I think, you know, obviously, you know, what Mayor Lightfoot said, you know, I think that if she would have just said, hey, look, it's business, we get it. But to throw the extra barbs in there and the extra shots in there, I think it was uncalled for. But yeah, I think anybody who knows business knows that's part of it, too. I mean, if the Bears are going to extend the lease ultimately down to the lakefront, then then this is an opportunity. There's no other, you know, besides calling and saying, you know, we're going to move out of the state of Illinois, which will never happen. There's really no other big tracts of land that are going to be desirable for the fan base to want to still go to and be a part of. So, yeah, I mean, there's negotiating, and that's business 101. I think that's where, you know, Ted Phillips and the organization business side kicks in. But, you know, I just think for the long term, for everything you're talking about as a top, you know, 2-3 organization in the world as far as what, you know, organizations are worth as far as here in the NFL, yeah, this is the move. This is the right move to think big and to get it done. I know it's daunting. I mean, we're not talking millions. We're talking billions of dollars being tied up for a long amount of time before you see profitability on top of that. That takes a huge vision, and that takes a lot of money. And if it comes together, it'd be great, because I know everybody out here is tremendously excited.
Our guest is Jim Schwantz, the mayor of Palatine, a voice you hear on the Bears pregame, postgame, halftime show on our brother station WBBM AM and FM 780 and 105.9 FM. And in talking about that, one of your constituents is a Wookiee who runs my Trader Joe's, and I said, "What do you think?" And he said he loves the idea. The Wookiee said he loves the idea that the property values go up when stadiums are nearby, which I never knew. I was surprised because of the. Then he brought up the downside. 53 is really a disgrace. On a good day, it's a disgrace. At some point, the Bears are going to play a game in December, and boy, you get near that Woodfield Mall exit. I mean, I have no idea what plans there would be, but if 53 doesn't get solved and widened and whatever you have to do, I just see a whole lot worse than the mess that is around Soldier Field. Jim, have you heard any talk about that? Would it be premature? Is this a correct assessment of that particular traffic situation?
Well, Rosie, I don't think there's any doubt. You know, ingress and egress is a huge part of whatever it is they decide. I mean, the Bears are only looking to take, 260 or 200 acres of it or whatever, so there's still 160 acres. It's a big property, so it's not just the stadium that's going down there. There'll be a lot of other things for sure, but there's no doubt. I mean, you know, the infrastructure is something that's got to be addressed. I think you'd have, 8 or 10 years to be able to try to solve all that. You know, 53 extension going north has been something that's been talked about forever. Mm-hmm. There's been environmental studies done. There's been a lot of millions of dollars thrown at different studies that basically all tell us the same thing. It needs to be extended north. I can tell you residents in this area will not stand for a toll. If the Illinois Department of Transportation wants to put a toll on Route 53, all you're going to do is just mess up the other roadways in and around north and south throughout the suburbs here in the northwest suburbs. So that's not going to happen. At least it would be very, very, very tremendously unpopular. But you know, the linchpin in this whole thing, the brass ring, I should say, is the metro station. You know, Arlington Park has its own metro station. It doesn't stop half a mile away. It doesn't stop a mile away. It literally stops, and it's a 4-minute walk to get to what would be the stadium. So that is going to be something that obviously would have to be pushed to try to drive as many people to the metro operation as possible to try to alleviate what you're talking about. But yeah, Route 53 is something that's that would need to be looked at. Quick run to get to Route 90, obviously, Lake Cook Road going up towards 94. So there'd be a lot of infrastructure things that would need to be solved prior to whatever happens. And I'm sure that would be all in negotiations, lockstep with whatever they decide to do if it does become a reality.
Jim, I don't know if you could separate yourself from, you know, the business benefits, and clearly it sounds like you'd be on board for it, but what do you think about the idea just from a raw topic of the Chicago Bears leaving the city of Chicago? Isn't that, like, that's the part I get all the benefits, like I really understand it, but it doesn't mean I have to like the idea of one of my sports teams leaving the city of Chicago. What do you think about that?
Well, it certainly comes with the benefits and not the benefits of what you're talking about. I mean, you know, we all know the examples of teams that aren't in the city they are called for anymore. I mean, Dallas Cowboys being the poster child for it there in Arlington. So, you know, you can certainly get away from that, you know, with regards to what's going on down at the stadium. It's just, for me, the city of Chicago, it's synonymous with the Chicago Bears and everything mm-hmm. that the city stands for. But at the same time, I mean, look, they did the reboot of the stadium. There's just not much to do down there. You know, I tell the story all the time. You go to Foxborough, you can ice skate in the morning, watch a movie in the afternoon, go watch the Patriots in the evening and never leave the facility. You go down to Soldier Field, and unless you're tailgating, you know, in the South Lot or in the Waldron Deck or in the Museum Lot, there really isn't a lot to do once you get on the property. You know, once, if you want to go, you got to cross all the way over Michigan Avenue. You got to get into the South Loop over the Metro tracks there to be able to go somewhere that's entertainment value. So, and I don't need to tell you, with ingress and egress, unless you have a boat, you're not getting out to the east once you leave Soldier Field. So, I mean, there's the part to get around is the nostalgic, you know, but we'll still call them the Chicago Bears if they're out here, just like we still call it the Sears Tower.
Yeah, I want to call them the New York Giants. New York Jets play in New Jersey, so see you later on the whole holding to that. So actually, it would be a home game for you if they moved out to Arlington Heights. Nothing could be, if you're sitting out on one of the decks where Ron Gleason is leading the pregame and postgame, that would be great for you, wouldn't it? It's a home game.
I'd ride my bike. You know, I could ride my bike unless it's one of those snowstorms you're talking about, but. It would be exciting. There's no doubt about it. I think, it would lower my commute nothing will make it less than what it was last season, because of COVID. We did our pre and post game from our houses, so there's nothing that could ever limit that. But the fact that it would be right here in our backyard, it's not just for the Bears. Obviously, we're talking, you know, Big Ten championships. We're talking Final Fours. We're talking, you know, all kinds of concerts. There would be just a tremendous amount of excitement here in the Northwest suburbs. And, you know, I know they're talking about a lot of other benefits, you know, as far as environmental benefits and parks and all kinds of things that would be ideal. You just don't see this tract of land coming on the market very often, and for it to be here. And here's the other thing, guys, this is what I love about the NFL. We're at the end of June here. And for the last 2 weeks, we've talked nothing about anything else. You know, there's NBA Finals going on. There's Stanley Cup going on. Cubs and Sox are in first place. But what's the driving everything? The Bears. And we're talking NFL football. And it's just, you know, I always Bears. Say when they put the NFL draft on Thursday nights, the other television executives on that evening put all reruns on because they knew what was going to run the night as far as ratings go. And it's the NFL, and the NFL loves this. We're talking NFL football pretty much 24/7.
Well, then I'm going to now ask the required question. Are you ready to talk about Justin Fields, Schwanz? Are you ready?
Sure, absolutely.
He's going to get this stadium built, damn it.
Yeah, Soldier Fields. No, but really, Matt Nagy was pretty stern with us, I guess, in the final mini camp that Justin Fields will be the backup and that Andy Dalton is the start. That's not going to change now. It's not going to change in camp. Where are you with all of that? Is it the right approach with Justin Fields, or do you think that there should be more of an opportunity for him to start September 12th in L.A.?
Well, I understand where Coach Nagy's coming from. He wants to put an end to the questions. It's a tiresome question to keep answering it over and over and over again. So I understand where he's coming from by jumping out in front of this thing. But realistically, that kid is going to be the starting quarterback for this organization for a decade if all goes well for us. So, you know, as long as they get everything figured out up front with the tackle positions and protections and those types of things, I don't see why this kid shouldn't be starting sooner rather than later. I understand you made a commitment to Andy Dalton, you know, but at the same time, you made a commitment to other quarterbacks in the past. The best guy should win it. I don't know that there's a competition where, because unless they both play a significant amount in the preseason, that has not been the style of Matt Nagy. We can't just depend on what goes on in practice as to whether or not you're getting the right competition to see what each of these guys can do. So, Andy Dalton should have the opportunity to lose the job, I believe, is the way I kind of look at it. But Justin Fields should be under center or behind center. I don't think nobody takes regular snaps anymore. So behind center, sooner rather than later. I just think that's why you moved up. That's why you made the move. That's why you've gotten, if you're Ryan Pace, you know, that's why you've gotten two bites at the apple. You need to find out sooner or later whether that this kid is going to be the guy we want to see playing quarterback for the Bears for the next decade.
All right, before we let you go, and I appreciate your time, Mr. Mayor, have you seen, there's often talk if you're going to build a stadium, and the Bears have never been accused of having vision or being bold, and maybe they haven't been allowed to because of ownership, but has there been discussion of a dome stadium versus an open stadium that you've been privy to that you would believe is a legitimate discussion, or is it simply buy the land and then we'll see where we are? What's the latest that you know of that discussion?
Yeah, there's been nothing that's gotten to that level yet as far as what type of stadium, the capacity, those types of things. But, you know, just speaking as a fan, I would think it would be something, you know, everybody wants to see the Bears play in the conditions. Fine, I understand all that. If you're talking a retractable type of a situation where you can have that stadium to host a lot of other things in cold weather and still be profitable, I think if you're going to put that amount of money into it, it's something that you're going to be able to use 365 days out of the year. So I would think it'd be something along the lines of a retractable roof, something where you could, if you wanted to leave it open to the elements in the middle of December for the Bears and feel nostalgic about it, great. But at the same time, close it up, dry it out, and make it able to host a Garth Brooks concert in the middle of January. That's, I think, what you would be looking at if you're going to make this type of a bold move.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor. We'll look forward to seeing how this proceeds. Jim, thanks.
I'm excited about it, guys. I certainly, this is, like I said, this is right in our backyard, but a great opportunity for everybody, and we'll continue discussing it. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk about.
All right. Jim, thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
All right,
be
guys.
Well. Jim Schwantz, Mayor of Palatine, member of the WBBM 780 AM 105.9 FM pregame, postgame, halftime shows, our brother station here at Odyssey. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, what are you doing, Wegner? We have a variety of things that stem from, you know, maybe heralding rocking the Casbah to Bo Jackson to a barbell I'd never seen before. So we'll see what we get to and how we get to it. And here's an update from about 10 minutes ago, maybe a little more, from the National Weather Service. They're receiving reports of flash flooding on Lakeshore Drive. This will likely be slow to subside, says the tweet for the National Weather Service in Chicago, even as storms taper over the city. Do not cross flooded roads. Now, they put the word not in caps because this is the same city where people decided to drive on Lakeshore Drive in a blizzard. So they know.
Do not drive your car in the water.
They can't fix stupid. They can just advise it, I guess. Anyways.
Hey, man.
I also,
you know how it is, like, when you got to get somewhere and you're late, you're like, I'm taking a chance. I'm going through the water.
I'm looking at a picture right now on Twitter of East Belmont Avenue, which, and the caption is, East Belmont Ave is a lake. And there's quite a bit of water on East Belmont. I'm not sure where exactly on East Belmont, but the water is up to pretty much covering the tires of this one car, and there's people trying to drive through it.
Of course, that's what happens. That's why you're going to see that on the Edens. You're going to see that in a lot of places. And oh my God, okay.
I want to make it clear.
Do not cross flooded roads.
670 the score, right. PSA. Do not cross flooded roads.
Roads, and put a book on
right.
your head.
Right, you don't really have to get to where you're going right now. You really don't. I mean, they'll understand. You have, there is proof.
Send a picture of the flooded road.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get to you, but I can't.
Right, the tornado warning earlier probably will have excused you alone, let alone the flash floods.
But are the people too stupid to know not to cross flooded roads? Smart enough to
Some
have,
people are.
pictures on their phones, know how to execute that whole thing.
No, but you know how it is. Like, when you really got to, and you're like, God, I got to do it. It's like, honestly, the comp is drunk driving, because people will be like, you know what? I got to get home. I can't leave my car here. I got, like, it's stupid, right? It's dumb. But people do it because they're like, I got to get this car home. I got to be home. I can't, you know? So,
yes.
I got to drive through this flood. I got to do it.
Around. Don't 312 do it. Texter, there is no East Belmont Avenue. That would be in the lake. So apparently that's a picture of the lake you saw on Twitter, studs.
It says right here on the picture, East Belmont Ave is a lake.
Okay. Yes. We call it Lake Michigan in my country.
Maybe that's... Maybe the lake is just flooding over onto Belmont then.
All right. Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with What Are You Doing, Wagner? That's just the way things go. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you doing, Wagner?
That's what we're doing. What are you doing, Wagner? Welcome in, welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Mark Brody. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's Saturday, suck it. What are you doing, Wagner? Looks at a whole variety of things. Let's start with, Mark, this might be more, and this might make you rock the Casbah, this thought.
Mm.
Mick Jones turned 66 today.
Darling, you got to let me know. Should I stay or should I go?
So there's the song. And according to the website Punk as Bleep, I can't say the last part of the website, as related by Carl Quintanilla of CNBC, Should I Stay or Should I Go wasn't about anything specific, and it wasn't preempting my leaving the Clash, Mick Jones said. It was just a good rocking song, our attempt at writing a classic. So he's 66. Did they write a classic? Do you think that that's a classic, Mark?
I do think that's a classic, and I like that he admitted that it has nothing to do with anything, and it just sounds cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I wish it doesn't always have to be some deep, poetic, interpret-as-you-will mean. It just sounds cool.
Yeah, and it got into his head, they got into their heads, they did it, and then, okay, here's a good song. Doesn't have to have meaning. So, I'm with you. Another group, the Gin Blossoms. This is quite the thing. You might like them after this. That did not sound like a positive ooh.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the Gin Blossoms, but go on.
You might be after this.
Okay.
The Gin Blossoms tweeted on Tuesday, who's coming out to the Suns game tonight? We're honored to be playing at halftime. Hashtag rally the valley. So the Gin Blossoms are going to play at game one of the Western Conference Finals. And in Phoenix. So a Twitter user named Mad Max Bronco Tansky, whose bio is all about the Broncos, Nuggets, and Avalanche, tweeted, leave it to the Suns to book the third bleepiest band ever. To which the Gin Blossoms fired back, who did your Nuggets book for tonight? I love that. That's just great. You go, Gin Blossoms. You go.
Grody, what do you got against the Gin Blossoms? You don't like Hey Jealousy?
Oh, God. It's just so... I can't even describe my dislike for them. I don't know. They're like a neat package, and their songs are kind of catchy, but just a little too something. They're a little too something for me, and I can't quite...
That's exactly how I feel about you two. So I understand what you're saying.
Wow. I didn't realize you were so protective of the gin blossoms.
I'm not.
God.
I just didn't know you hated the gin blossoms. I was curious why.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little too poppy. I don't know. Like but then again, I like Katy Perry, so I don't. I'll have to really do some.
So they're not too poppy.
Dive.
That's not what's wrong
right.
with
right. I can't say that. See, I'm struggling very much to describe why I don't like the gin blossoms, you know? I know people like them and they're
you still like them. That's fine.
Yeah, well, apparently it's not fine because you're
I don't
interrogating me.
No, I don't really care. Like, you just don't like them. Like I said, I don't like you two. I don't really have a reason other than I just don't like
oh,
them.
Oh, wait. I thought you said you didn't like me when you
no!
I was like, that's a little
which
heavy.
Is,
you're like,
Cody,
you
don't
like
you. Yeah, over the, yeah. Yeah,
the way you stressed you two. Okay, so you don't like you two, the band.
Yeah,
okay.
You two.
I'm trying to figure out. I'm like, why are you bringing a gun to a knife fight here? Like, why I gotta, like, seriously, because I don't like the gym blossoms. You don't like me now? Okay.
How's your self-esteem doing, Mark? Is it better?
Yeah,
is
not
it,
real yeah, good, but. Yeah, it, no, that's.
Yeah, you know what? I actually hate you now because the gin blossoms are the greatest band.
That's where he draws the line. As ever.
I'll forgive a lot of things, but hated the gin blossoms is we gotta draw the line somewhere.
Anywhere you go, I'll follow you. Ugh. All right, go ahead, Steve.
Okay, no, I'm gonna hijack my own segment because we just did what Mark heard a while ago, and what Mark didn't hear and what Steve didn't hear. We're gonna do this because what you didn't hear while you were gone when you were making some legitimate sports points, and we just couldn't have it on Saturday Suckage. So Rick Camp filled in, and Rick had an idea because he was driving home and he pulls up next to a guy with a window down. The guy might have looked like someone who runs a jackhammer, and blasting from his car was Toxic by Britney Spears.
Oh.
So Rick says, what song would not be in your warehouse? What would people be surprised to hear? And Studs?
I had to play Toxic first, so all right, I know what song you want, Steve.
Well, I'm just saying so I at first thought and said, I would think given the Eagles heavy playlist on this show would be, and even some Boss Skaggs, that it would be, you know, Pour Sugar on Me. That would be, I would scream that. And Rick said, no, it doesn't qualify. That could sort of be in your wheelhouse, could be. And I said, okay. I've been known to burst out with Be Our Guest. I would just sing and I did. And I burst out in Be Our Guest and sang it, and Rick tweeted out, I had Rosenblum. I had Steve singing Disney, so my work here is done. And then I went to, so I'm walking through my Trader Joe's, and Joey Ice, who runs the frozen department, says, just walks up, no hello, no nothing. All right, sing Pour Sugar on Me. And so all I knew was the line. I thought that's all we were talking about. And then I realized I missed it. And you're talking about Katy Perry reminds me that what I should have said was Avril Lavigne.
Oh, yeah. Skater Boy.
I love my Avril, and I love Skater Boy. He was a boy,
I like Avril Lavigne, too. I like
Could
her, too.
Could it be any more obvious? And I started singing that. And Joey Ice looks at me, and I said, sing good enough? He goes, yeah, okay, that's enough. That would have been... So that would be... And then, by the way, I said that, and I told my kids, and they begged of me over the Father's Day week, and we know it's Father's Day, and you cannot sing that. So I started singing that. And then the 2 days later, the diva sends me a TikTok of Avril, who recut the start of Skater Boy with the most famous skater boy there is, Tony Hawk, doing tricks to her song.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
That would have been the better thing. So I think your answer would be Katy Perry. So out of your... Nobody would expect that, right? Although you've talked about it on the show.
Yeah, probably not. Like, people... I'm more of a modern rock... I guess if I had to press the button, like modern rock, I like... the best of any kind, you know, going back to grunge, and I'll still listen to newer stuff today. But yeah, I do like Katy Perry. I did take my nieces. Oh, Katy.
You're a Katy cat. I'm a Katy cat.
Took the nieces to see Katy Perry because, you know, they wanted to see Katy Perry.
So. Yeah, what a good uncle.
Hey, if I have to buy them all a $10 bag of popcorn so I can see Katy Perry, that's fine. Oh, yeah. I'm a Katy cat. She's so cool.
Yeah, the Diva's a Katy cat as well. She's less about Avril Lavigne. I said, well, he was a skater boy. She said, see you later, boy. He wasn't good enough for her.
Listen,
now he's
you.
A superstar slamming on his guitar. Does your pretty face see what he's worth?
I remember being in your car with you, Steve Rosenblum. Yep. You and I were doing a remote at U.S. Cellular.
Yes, and we did.
There was rain, and so we had to
just
get
like
in your car.
Just like there is today. Yeah.
Right. And then we did it was similar back. Type of day. So we get in your car, and we drive back, and what was Steve sliding in? He had a CD player, and he's jamming Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
Remember that? You were rocking the
Musical
Jersey Boys.
Theater and me are not far away from one another.
Yep.
I didn't know
that about Stevie Sunshine. He's a theater. He's a skater boy and a theater boy.
They figured that out when I started singing Be Our Guest last week. So that's what Mark funny. Did not hear. Now
awesome.
What Steve didn't hear, I asked Studs to pull this aside. We want to get your reaction because you talked earlier about Danny's terrific radiothon where he worked through 24 hours and they raised, of course, $670,000 and some odd change and a terrific job to build Austin Harvest to an actual brick and mortar place. You can touch it, you can see it, your money for everywhere from $5 on up to whatever the matches were. It was a tremendous effort and the Score listeners rallied, the Score advertisers rallied, the Score hosts rallied, and you were a co-host with Danny Parkins, and it led to transition. So I asked Studs to pull something I was unable to hear, and the audience might not have heard, and then I want you to comment on this. I do not want to let this opportunity pass, so here goes.
Les, when you look for a banana in a store like Austin Harvest, because again, we're trying to raise money to build a permanent structure for that mart, do you go for like a green banana that you can age into, or do you go for one that you're going to eat right away?
If it's dark and it's aged a little bit, I'm going to use that to make smoothies or shakes. And I love making banana shakes. And again, I've been allergic to chocolate, unfortunately, for a long, long time. But I will tell you, the green ones, you take a whole bunch of those, maybe about four or five of them together in a bunch. They'll last longer. You can sit them on the counter and they'll be good for a few days. If they start to darken a little bit, I will use those to make a shake or a smoothie.
I mean, that's the way it works. Right? You get them green, you wait a couple of days.
I get the same. That's how I handle my bananas too.
Yeah.
What a coincidence.
Right, right. They last longer.
So
I like all kinds of those produces per se, but I just love bananas. I have loved it since
I didn't know about this.
And I still do now.
This is interesting. I knew you hate chocolate.
I don't hate it. I love it. It doesn't love me.
Oh, right. And you hate alcohol. And like, these are like things. Like, Les does not drink, never has, never will, right?
Don't smoke either.
Don't smoke. Right. What do you do? So, and now you throw
that
this.
That leaves only one other kind of vice, really, right?
Ooh, so you do
cocaine?
Drugs. Yeah, cocaine.
Never mind, we're not going to go there.
Okay, we're not going to talk about your cocaine
show.
Habit. Right?
I know it's at this hour, but this is a very,
we'll
very
talk about your
show.
Cocaine habit another time. Danny,
my bad.
Like I said, I don't do drugs.
No, of course, sorry. No. I stopped listening for like 45 seconds. I forgot.
Look at it this way, Danny. We still have a lot of time to go here, so we're basically taking off some of that time.
But hold on
a
second. What did we leave out? If we left out, if drugs is not it, what is it that we left out?
Drugs, alcohol.
But those are not your vices,
right? So what is? Do you have a vice?
What causes you to be conceived?
Your vice is. Sex.
You asked.
God. Radio gold, Jerry.
I don't even know that I need to react to this. I think that I did the investigative work, and you guys should react to this.
I told Grody as it was playing, and I thought this in real time as I listened to it. Whatever you want to call it, Thursday morning, Wednesday night. It's literally the greatest segment of radio I've ever heard in my entire life. It's just everything about it. I mean, from the fruit draft and then Danny explaining how a draft works to you guys.
Oh, yeah. That too.
And then it just dissolves into this, like, this, like, even for, like, a show, like, Les's show, even for that, it just, like, I never would have imagined that it would end up where it ended up.
Neither did we. Like, I felt like a little bit of, I don't know, pressure is the right word to make sure that segment was going to be good because Danny is tired and I'm like, all right, I'm going to stick around and Grobber and I usually make magic, but can't force it and it just happened magically. Steve, what did you think?
It's something I can't unsee even though I never saw it. I cannot unsee that.
Forever unclean.
Yes. This will leave an emotional, mental scar. There's a brain hemorrhage going on.
Here, I got someone else who we can get a reaction from. Oh. Toby's here.
Toby, dude.
Hey, guys.
What's up, Toby?
Dudes, how's it going?
Dude.
It's going good.
Good. Yeah, I was listening too. That was interesting.
Right.
Were you laughing or were you like kind of like, ooh?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Along with bacon being a vegetable, apparently, too. What was that?
Yeah, that was hilarious, too. Like, that's not getting much attention because of the dominant headlines of that vignette. But, yeah, I still don't know. Like, he put down bacon as a fruit, and he wouldn't back off of it. Like, he was either deadpanning.
Les said bacon is a fruit?
Yeah, and he wouldn't, like, back off of it. Like, Les doesn't usually do that. Like, he doesn't usually use sarcasm as one of his tools.
Bacon is God's food. I'll back that up. Bacon
I mean, I know
is
there's
God's
bacon
food,
jam now, but
bacon jam.
That's what.
And Les doesn't like jam either. That came up. He doesn't like all the little pieces in jam or whatever. So. I mean, you got to hear the whole thing. Like there's a dominant 2 minutes that we played there, but there was an hour's worth of gold.
Right. But so, by the way, all undrafted, I would go. I think apples. Oranges, blueberries.
Okay. I'd put blueberries first.
I would go bacon.
Oh yeah.
As long as we're hijacking a draft. Yeah. By the way, are you going to? I don't know if you're calling from Washington State or not, Toby. Do you think about relocating there? They're doing jabs for joints. Our WB Club members would be happy to know, and we have some up there. So if you get vaccinated, then you can get a joint from one of the medical marijuana places or recreational marijuana, one of the legal pot places in Washington. They're calling it jabs for joints.
I guess I missed out, but I already got it. I did see that on the news though.
Okay.
Hey, Mark.
Yep.
You want to embarrass this guy?
Which guy?
The guy over there.
Stevie? Yeah, I do.
You know, I heard.
Let's embarrass him.
Who was the guy that had the birthday this week from the band?
The guy that turned 66.
Clash
guy.
I mean, I just
Mick
heard,
Jones.
I think there was some other guy this week that had a birthday.
Rosenblum? That's an idol. It's an evil rumor. I don't think it's worth spreading.
Wait a minute. Did we miss your birthday, Steve?
It's 3 days after mine, which is on one of the famous
Happy birthday!
Stevie, happy belated, my man. Steve.
Yeah.
Happy birthday. Wow, you're like my dad. You get a Father's Day and a birthday month. So my dad
sort of
yeah,
moved, Yeah, it's where it all gets mushed together, and I don't. You know.
You're not a birthday guy, are you, Steve?
No. Even this was no.
Apparently not.
The Father's Day was great. Having the kids together, and then we did smoke barbecue for dinner. It's like, okay, I'm doing that. That's where we're gonna do that. And then I know if I'm gonna get a fruit side, I'm gonna get the fruit cup that has bacon in it. Now it's just been reestablished. Or has been newly established. All right, I keep yelling. Thanks, Toby. Thanks for bringing that up. It's really a pleasure to have you here. Yeah, all right.
No, thanks. No worries. That's my job.
Okay, we have to take a break. And 260 texter, where does Swinger Les stash his purloined food from the complimentary buffet? That's really quite a thing. Les doing Eyes Wide Shut. And where do you put the food? I don't think I want to know. God. I don't want to know where he puts the pickles. And we're going to move along from there.
Yes. So move along, Steve.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll bring you the Andrew Bond interview that Inside the Clubhouse did, if you're prepared for that at all. I'm Steve Rosenblum. He's Mark Grody. This couldn't be more Saturday Suckage than it is. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What causes you to be conceived?
Yeah, you know what? Next week, as long as nobody important listen, we're going to be here, Mark. Les just came up as a topic because Trash Panda won't be here. Trash Panda is going to be officiating a wedding ceremony, and he said there are two things that are required. I don't know what, I think one of them is that Les be brought in to be the commissioner of conceivement. So he's going to be there and be their conceivement Sherpa. So we'll find out more. We'll book our producer as one of our guests, and hopefully he'll be drinking. And anyways, we have to get out of here now, and we'll be back as long as nobody important listened. We want to thank you for listening. Mm-hmm. And Inside the Club, I just can't. Hope Dave the Cat's okay. Hope there's Bears All Access is after us. And so you'll follow Andrew Vaughn right into Bears All Access, as he was on Inside the Clubhouse earlier on The Score, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Congratulations on what has been a very good start to your first full season as a major leaguer. I don't imagine that when you plotted this out in your head, you thought that you would be a rookie outfielder in the majors. But how would you summarize all this happened to you in the past several months and how you've been able to handle it?
Yeah, you know, spring training, we had some unfortunate injuries with Angle going down and Eloy going down. And then during the season, we've had a few guys go down. And our biggest thing has got to be next man up. And we've had a lot of guys doing that this year. And just got to step up and do anything you can to help this team win ball games.
Andrew, as far as jumping in on a really good team and knowing that responsibility, Is there any more pressure on you and some of the other younger guys or guys just stepping in because of the high expectations and the reality that this team is built to win?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we got to go out there and just do our jobs, no matter what it is, no matter how old you are. If you're a one-year rookie or a 10-year vet, we're all out there with the same goal in mind. And like you said, that's to win and get as far as we can in the postseason this year, but you just got to take it one day at a time. Postseason's not here yet, and you got to keep racking up wins to get there, and then that's when the fun starts.
All right, Andrew, so take us back to spring training. You've got 55 games of minor league experience. Eloy Jimenez goes down, and the White Sox had maybe targeted you to be a contributor, but as maybe a designated hitter, maybe a bat in the lineup, I don't think that it was left field. How much anxiety did that create, learning a job on the fly, knowing what this team, their expectations were heading into this season, and how hard was it to learn a new position as a major leaguer?
You know, I was fortunate last year at the alternate site to get a few reps in the outfield and get a little bit more comfortable with it. And then in spring training, it was kind of a last-minute thing. I think there was maybe a week left. And just I went out there with Debo and did my work. That was the biggest thing. Just do your work, do it diligently, and be the best you can be. Try to do your job and just catch everything you can and know your strengths, know your weaknesses out there.
Andrew, you know, you say that, but every ballpark you go to, is it almost like starting all over again, especially in left field when you go to Boston and there's a green monster standing there, looks like 2 feet away from home plate. You go to Houston and you have the short wall and the quirkiness of that outfield and the railroad tracks. Is it like going to a new amusement park every time you go out there to one of these ballparks?
Yeah, it kind of is. I mean, every ballpark is different in its own way, and you have to go out that first day you get there usually and just check out the field, see what it's going to do if a ball hits a certain spot. Like in Houston, it was crazy that scoreboard and left on the fence, it's got a bunch of iron bars and plates and stuff, and if a ball hits it, it could go anywhere. And you just got to be ready and you got to get the ball. If it hits that, you got to find where it's going to go.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.